Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Olami 613 Chicago without a live studio audience. But it's okay, because we have some absolutely amazing things coming your way. Now, it has been a few weeks, and it feels good to be missed. I have been receiving messages from many of you. It was our vacation week. Our schools have off the third week of January, in addition to a tremendous amount going on. And that said, I have missed Monday Motivation last couple weeks. Personally, I've missed it. The best comment I got to give, a shout out to my man, Lewis Kaplan. Lewis leaves me a message. Lewis and I have been learning as a part of our monthly learning group for, 15 years. I mean, a lot of years. Anyway, he says to me, Rabbi, I wait for your Monday motivation. It's my spiritual drug. I got to get my fix. That was the best compliment I ever got. I'm a spiritual pusher. I hope I don't get arrested for this. But anyway, Lewis, God bless you. Thank you for your love and support of so many of you out there who did message me and want to know what's going on. Okay, we are back. Now, speaking of love and support, guess what this week is? This week is a super exciting, unbelievable week. This is our annual Olami 613 online fundraiser, which means you don't need to go get dressed up. You don't need to go to a dinner. You don't need to sit through boring speeches. You just need to say, wow, I value Jewish ideas and Jewish values and Jewish mitzvahs and Jewish education. And I value that this next generation of Jews who are roaming around in downtown Chicago will have an opportunity to engage in timeless wisdom, meaning, and purpose, to give them an opportunity to continue to be a link in the chain, this glorious 3,800-year-old chain, going back to Abraham and Sarah, and a 3,337-year-old chain going back to Mount Sinai, which is something that we really read about this last week in the Torah portion. And so, what can I say? It's not only that the money will help us. It is an expression of what is important to you. I'd like to share with you an unbelievable measure, a barometer, a take your temperature of how do you know who you are? How do you know who you are as a person? It's actually a great question. Well, the clearest way, or a very clear way, to determine who we are as people is to look at one document. It might be online. It might be sent to you by paper, depending on which generation you're from. But it is your credit card statement. Because your credit card statement will indicate, what do you spend your money on? What is important enough for you to extricate your financial resources, your hard-earned money, and give them to another entity? And this is really the most powerful question in our day and age. We just had the Super Bowl. Now, usually I know how much the tickets are. People were telling me that an average ticket was $5,000. So someone who's going to pay $5,000 for a ticket, usually they go with someone else. So it's at least $10,000. That's assuming they got it for five, plus the travel, plus the hotel, plus the food. You're talking about people dropping tens of thousands, if not in certain cases, hundreds of thousands of dollars to go see a sporting event. That speaks volumes. By the way, I have no problem with sporting events, certain ones of them, entertainment, no problem. But to spend the money, that means that that ticket was worth $5,000 to you. So when we ask people for a donation, The question is, how much are Jewish values worth? And the work that we're doing for educating hundreds of Jewish young professionals, is it worth a Starbucks coffee? Is it worth a decent meal? Is it worth a Cubs ticket? Is it worth Bears tickets? What is it worth? Is it worth a fancy dinner? How much will a young professional drop at a fancy dinner going out? $50? $75? Okay. But I have found over the years that there's some sort of force that makes people look at charity differently, but it's not. When we give tzedakah, it is the greatest expression of our values. There's a force against it that says, oh, wow, I can't give so much money to tzedakah, yet we'll drop, I don't know, hundreds of dollars on ridiculous things of entertainment. That is the challenge. So I'm asking people to give. To give, of course, because it helps us, but also it helps you. It helps you put your flag in the ground and say, this is important to me. So important to me that it's more important than a Starbucks coffee or a Cubs ticket or a Bears ticket or a theater ticket or whatever it may be. That is a powerful statement. And the more that we give, the more we transform ourselves into giving people and to people dedicated to the values of which we give. So that is why this fundraiser is so important. It's not only about raising necessary funds. It is about transforming people and having them step up and say, this is important to me. Jewish values are important to me. And that said, those people who would like to donate, it would really mean so much to us. The link is olami613.org. Okay, right on the front page of our olami613.org. olami613.org. Right on the front there, you click the button, it'll take you to our campaign page. The link to the campaign page is so long, I didn't even try to do it. Okay, God willing, we'll post it here as well on when you look up the podcast. Thank you so much in advance. The official campaign begins Wednesday and goes to Thursday, but the site is open and people have already started donating. So thank you in advance. Now, I would like to turn to a subject that has been getting a little bit of attention. I want to thank my dear friend Rod Lowenthal for pointing out some people in the non-religious world who are starting to emphasize this. Brett Stevens, as well as Dan Senor, that there's a trend that basically we should stop caring about anti-Semitism. And I would just like to say, welcome to the party. Welcome to the party. Yes, we have been on this side of the anti-Semitism river for a long time. We have been decrying and speaking very clearly that defining ourselves as Holocaust Jews or as victims is the worst way to define ourselves. And I have constantly always pushed people to define ourselves positively. Why are you Jewish? You're not Jewish because you were beat up for the last 2,000 years. You were beat up because you stand for something. You represent something. Isn't it a pity that Jews who are discriminated against don't know why? They just think that if they'll just explain it to them anymore, that if we have more Holocaust museums, then perhaps the non-Jews will finally stop hating us. Really? Do you know how many billions of dollars have been pumped into Holocaust museums, their building, their staffing, their ongoing programming? Billions of dollars over the years. And where has it brought us? Where has it brought us? It's brought us to a place where it evidently did not educate the next generations to feel bad enough. Oh, we're the victims, and so they feel bad for us, and so therefore don't hate us anymore. It was a failure. Now, I'm not saying that historically there should not be Holocaust museums. Of course, to record history, the world should know for sure. But that is going to be the great hope against anti-Semitism, which brings us to the Super Bowl. Which brings us to the Super Bowl, and there was an organization, I believe it was by Mr. Kraft, who is a very pro-Jewish person and deserves a lot of credit for his efforts to fight anti-Semitism, but basically dropped $15 million on a commercial about anti-Semitism. And I saw the commercial, even though I did not watch the game. It was a busy night, folks. Did follow it a little bit, tracking it, but didn't seem to be the most exciting Super Bowl, so didn't miss much. But happy for Sam Darnold. That's my takeaway. But the commercial, for those of you who did not see it, has this boy, Jewish boy, in a public school who's being bullied and for being Jewish. And then he opens up his locker, and in his locker is a note, "Dirty Jew." And then, evidently, a big African-American student, which is not clear at first, but it turns out he must be a friend and a supporter of the Jew, puts a blue square over the "Dirty Jew." And the call to action was, I don't remember clearly, but basically, put your blue square over anti-Semitism. And that ad cost $15 million. Now, I know we're in the middle of a fundraising campaign, but we have another campaign, God willing. We'll see. We want to buy a building and build a center in downtown Chicago. And that project's going to be probably about $4 million, maybe. Who knows? Depends on the sale price. We're still working on things. Do you know 30 seconds of that advertisement could have purchased 3 centers downtown Chicago? 3? Or it could have purchased our center and given us years and years of funding to be able to run incredible programs? It's staggering. $15 million for 30 seconds? To what? To what? To try again and again and again to tell, now you non-Jews, now it's not nice to not, you know, to think that we're bad. Are you kidding me? $15 million down the drain. So sad. And if you think otherwise, that's fine. Please let me know. But I think it was a grand waste of money. Because that's not how you convince non-Jews not to like you. There is only one way that Jewish people should go through history, and that is being proud of who we are. Not to cower and to say that, oh, just, you know, don't like us. We've been beat up so much. We've been a victim for so long. It's enough. Don't make us a victim anymore. That portrays a tremendous weakness, and it doesn't understand the fundamental nature of why they don't like us. And maybe we'll turn to that now, because why don't they like us? Because deep down, folks, it comes back to this week's Torah portion, this past week that we just read, Parshas Yisro. Yisro in English is called Jethro. Yes, Jethro Tull, okay, got their name. It's a biblical name. I don't know what the Tull part is. Maybe it's a last name of someone. But anyway, yes, or Jethro from the Beverly Hillbillies, okay? But it's really the OG Jethro. Yitro was Moshe's father-in-law. And this is the Torah portion in which the Torah was given, or at least the Ten Commandments are given. And the Talmud says something unbelievable, that the Torah was given on Mount Sinai. Al tikra Sinai ela Sina. And I will translate what the Talmud says. The Talmud says, don't call it Mount Sinai, call it Mount Sina. Now it's a drasha, because Sinai is with a samech, and Sina is with a sin. There's two different letters, so it's clearly a drasha. It's not meant to be taken literally, but that's what a drasha is. It's an not allegorical, but it's a non-literal explanation, but it's uncovering a deeper idea, which means that the Talmud says that as soon as the Jewish people receive the Torah on Mount Sinai, a tremendous amount of sinah came to the world against us. Sinah is hatred. Why would it be that when we got the Torah at Mount Sinai, a tremendous amount of hatred came to us? And the answer is a fewfold. One is that we became Hashem's people. It concretized the fact that we are going to be the quarterbacks of history, the spiritual quarterbacks of history, and that history is run vis-a-vis through the Jewish people. Because we are the ones who are setting the tempo of spiritual destiny. We are the hall monitors of history. We are the ones that taught the world, Lo Tirzach, you cannot murder, you cannot steal, you cannot kidnap, you cannot commit adultery, you have to believe in Hashem, you have to honor your parents. So many things. And that's inconvenient for people. That's hard to do, to be moral. It's much easier to do might makes right, but the Jewish people have always stood for morality, for goodness, for compassion, for being selfless people and not selfish people. And so the anti-Semite is burdened with this tremendous thing called the conscience. And who gave the non-Jewish world a conscience that these things are wrong? It's only the Jewish people. We said this in a previous podcast. The reason why the Super Bowl was played with two teams and pads and a football and not with trident spears killing each other, which they did do 2,000 years ago in Rome, is because we taught the world thou shalt not murder, and we won in the marketplace of ideas throughout the world that is the correct way of doing things. And therefore, a non-Jew who's going about his life and he wants to just take what he wants and do what he wants and sleep with whoever he wants and say whatever he wants about any other person, the Jewish people are the hall monitors of history that stand for Hashem, God, who says, no, you can't do that, Gunther, or Thor, or Chris, or Muhammad, or fill in the name. You can't do that. You are held to a higher authority. You will be held responsible for your actions. You matter. And therefore, if you blow it, you will be taken to task for that in the next world. But if you do well, you'll be rewarded for that. And that is the great hatred that came to the world from the non-Jews to the Jews when we became the chosen people officially at Mount Sinai. And the person who said this the best said the following: the Jewish people have plagued humanity with two wounds, a wound to the body and a wound to the spirit. A wound to the body is in circumcision because it limits the physical pleasure and it destroys, quote unquote, the perfect human body in its, quote unquote, animal form. And it gave a wound to the spirit of a conscience, because now when we do something wrong, deep inside we know it's wrong. That is what Mount Sinai gave to the world, the hatred for the Jews, that we represent this morality. Oh, and BTW, by the way, who was the one who said that? Who said that the Jews gave the world two wounds? One physical and one spiritual. His name was Adolf Hitler. And he knew who the Jewish people were. And he had a monomaniacal, totally focused effort to wipe out the Jewish people. Why? Because he knew what we stand for. He wanted to bring the world back to barbarism, to might makes right, to the victor goes the spoils. And we were in the way. And so today, why is all this anti-Semitism coming up? Because if they can say that we're the murderers, we're the ones who are killing innocent babies, then the hall monitor himself is late to class. The moral barometer itself is broken, and therefore it allows me to be able to do whatever I want to do. And that is why the last 2 years, the world has vilified Israel more than ever before, because if Israel is starving innocent Palestinian children, then all bets are off. The moral authority has checked out. And so therefore, these are the roots of anti-Semitism. And so instead of caring about what everyone else says about us, it's time to lean in positively to our Jewish identities. This is what it's all about. This is what we're doing at Olami 613, leaning in to our positive Jewish identity and not caring what they say. It just doesn't matter anymore. There's nothing that we can say to explain to them that they shouldn't hate us. It's when we live as proud Jews and knowledgeable Jews and know what we stand for, that's when they will go back into their holes and stop hating us. Because when we respect ourselves, that's when the non-Jews will respect us. So God willing, this message will reverberate, and it will cause the people who are listening, my beloved listeners, to really reconsider. This is a totally different way of thinking from the way most of us were raised. But it's time to lean in to being Jewish. And if anyone wants to talk to the people who spent $15 million on a 30-second commercial, please direct them to me and we will use their money really, really well. God bless. Have an amazing week. May we be successful on this fundraising campaign. And I look forward to everyone participating and stepping up and saying that Judaism and Jewish values are so important. God bless. Have an amazing week. And God willing, we'll see you again right back here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.